is KAYTFM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJOFM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Will you help me just open up your mouth and glorify God? If he's done anything for you.
Listening to KYT KQJO radio station. Have a really, really, really special programming for you this morning. I don't know if you guys remembered a few weeks back, I had a guest on, and we talked about just life and things going through that is affecting our life and what we can do to better others. We went pretty heavy with it because of our personal experiences, and we're going to bring that back today. It was so popular amongst the audience, and anything we can do in the community to make the community a better place, we want to do our part. So with that being said, I have special guests in the studio with me this morning. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, but before I even get to that point, my very special guest, Miss Amanita Kay. Good morning, Ms. Amanita. How are we doing this morning?
Good morning.
I am so glad to have you back on our airwaves with us this morning for such a awesome, I'm already claiming a very awesome and powerful programming to help others.
You know, the last time, which was the first time I was here, I had no clue what we were going to talk about, where this was going to go, but, you know, after that show, leaving, being out in the public, in the community, having people come up saying how the conversation, the show that we did, how it touched them, how they cried, how they called in and asked for prayer. Like, it was amazing. So, yeah, I'm excited about today, and especially with the guests that we have and their ability to be transparent.
So who are the guests we have this morning? Get those guys to introduce themselves this morning.
Okay, so we got Mike, and we got over here, we got
Tarantula Booth.
And I'm like really excited because here's why. You know, we all go through things, but for them to trust me enough to be transparent enough to come on and just share their experiences with life and where life has taken them, but also the biggest part is the direction that they're headed in now, that they're overcoming.
That is truly, truly awesome. Folks, the direction we're going to go in this morning is a direction that many homes across the country can deal with, and definitely local. We're going to talk about overcoming addiction, whatever your addiction may be, whatever type of drug addiction you may be in. We're gonna dive deep into it. We're going to get, whether you're a grandmother, your grandfather, auntie, auntie, a loving mother, father, sister, brother, whoever you are that's under the sound of my voice, if you're listening right now, I want you to stay tuned. We're talking to you. If you have a family member or a friend or family, everybody has somebody that's touched them in some kind of way with some type of addiction. So this is a subject quite dear to my heart. It is so personal because it is really personal for me. And I had never even opened up about it, so I'm happy to get into it. So I'm going to yield for a second. I'm going to get Ms. Amanita to engage with Ms. Tarantula and Mike, and we're gonna get right into their lives and what we can do to help others.
Okay, so we're just gonna talk. Mike, let me ask you a question. So let's tell the people, can you tell the people a little bit about yourself? Like, how did addiction start for you?
Addiction started for me. For me, hanging out and everything with my friends and stuff, you know.
So what
fitting in.
Okay, so hanging out with your friends, what drugs?
Well, I started on everybody did weed, pills, or, you know, drink, but it graduated.
Okay.
The older I got, it graduated, and I ended up on fentanyl and meth.
Okay, and if you don't mind me asking, like when you were on the fentanyl in the meth, like how did it make you feel?
I didn't use it for the fentanyl. I just used it for the enjoyment. But after a while, it wasn't enjoyment.
Yeah,
it wasn't. You know, ambulance coming. I'm waking up in the ambulance or in the hospital, and my people seeing it. That's, you know, it got old.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask this question, Ms. Tarrant. Can you tell me what caused you, what triggered you to, you know, head in the direction toward drugs?
The insights of my life.
Talk to me.
The sickness of my mother, the death of my mother.
Okay.
Some issues with my children, my family, some side effects that were taken with me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Consider myself as a whole individual, being treated like a half or not even an individual at all.
Okay.
The drugs became a peace, like a savior for me through
okay.
my time of. It's like, it was like agony. Like,
okay, so let me see if I could help. What you're saying was your mother got sick.
All of a sudden.
Okay, and then?
She just took sick.
And then?
She passed.
A little while after that, she passed. And it just put you in a position to where, you know, you the pressure of life and you felt bogged down with.
I felt alone.
I got you. So coping was hard, and drugs kind of took the pain away, and it made you not have to deal with the reality of what was going on. Is that what we could say?
The drugs kept me high.
Mm-hmm. And it made you numb.
It made me numb of the death. But it was still there.
I get exactly what you're saying. Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you said you started out, you know, got introduced with drugs, hanging with your friends, that kind of stuff, and then it grew. And then it went from being fun. And then it turned into an ugly monster.
Real ugly.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, like I said, I hurt it myself, physically and mentally, but I hurt my family mentally too. But the monster it is like you can't go without. With fentanyl and meth, you'll have problems. You know, your body don't function right. Your body depend on that chemical balance. You know, mm-hmm. You'll do whatever it is to get it while you can have a smooth day. And your day really ain't smooth because you still going. Everything you do is really relating for that drug.
Now, y'all, I want y'all to know that Mike is in the drug recovery program, Rapids Parish.
Yes,
tell us a little bit on the upside. Tell us a little bit about what goes on at the drug recovery program and how it has positively affected you.
Yeah, okay. when I was in jail, a lot of people told me, man, don't go to drug court. But I had it in my mind I wanted to get off, no matter what. So I asked for drug court, and I went to drug court.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more positive than negative.
Okay.
If you're willing to do the program, do the steps, and everything.
Okay.
They will help you 100%. They behind you. It's just up to you to want that and go to the opposite direction than what you've been going.
I got you. We were just having a basic conversation, and you told me you remember the time when you were sitting at a red light.
Yeah.
Tell us
what. This was about, it was like 3 years before I got in drug court. I was in Pineville on 28 coming back home. Like, before the light changed, I had fell asleep at the wheel. Police sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
And police told me, when he did come and woke me up, he said, the first time you slept, you know, you stayed at the light, I gave you the benefit of the doubt you was doing something. But the second and third time, I knew something was wrong. The man came and turned the car off. That's when I woke up.
So the light, you
slept through three lights.
And you slept through three lights. And you probably would have still been asleep had not that man came and turned. And so did you go to jail?
Yeah, I went to jail.
What you went to jail for? You had drugs on you?
Yeah, I had drugs on me. And he gave me DUI.
Okay.
Yeah, you will go. I'm saying, dealing with drugs, you will go to jail.
Okay.
That's your second home.
Mr. Ransom, I got a question for you, baby. You and I had a conversation. We were talking about jail. Do you mind telling the people how many times you told me you've been to jail?
55 times.
Okay, and let me ask you this question. What were some of the things, if you don't mind saying, if you don't want to say it, I understand. What were some of the things you went to jail for?
Stealing.
Okay.
Stealing, high.
Okay.
Remaining on premises, criminal trespassing.
So during the time that you were stealing and the criminal trespassing, because we know for a while you were homeless.
Yes.
During that time that you were homeless, how did that make you feel?
It was a state of shock for me, coming from
where you came
where
from.
I came from.
Cause let me tell y'all this something. Me and Mr. Ransler, we started being friends in junior high school. And I mean best friends. We used to write each other letters every day, fold them up, you know, fold the letters up and make sure, you know, and we encouraged each other. We went to the skating rink together and all of that. And her grandmother was an amazing lady. I just remember that. But you never know the behind the scenes. You know, we look at people and we say they're living from the outside, you know, it looks like everything is perfect, but behind closed doors we don't understand how these people who have used drugs as an out or an escape or a getaway are really dealing with all different forms of abuse, physical, emotional, mental. You know, it's a lot of hurt and pain, and sometimes it's not all for fun that people use drugs. That's right, baby. They kind of, like you just said, try to find a way out.
Out.
Yeah. Chris, what, I mean, you know.
What I'm seeing and what I'm hearing right now, it's been pretty consistent with what we deal with folks that are going through this problem. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to a very, very special segment. We're trying to touch folks that go through similar situations of addiction. So let you know, if you're listening to this right now, you are not alone. If you're a grandmother, grandfather, auntie, uncle, aunt, father, whoever you are, we want you to understand that you are not alone. We have Mr. Mike and Mr. Rushler come on the show to let folks know there are people just like you going through things just like you. And if you listen to both of their testimonies, if what they have in consistency is hurt, some form of hurt, some type of something pushed them to that area. Ms. Tarantula losing someone very close to her, it strikes a pose with me, because I'm going to tell you why that hit different with me. I was told one of the crutches for my child is currently in rehab right now. We're gonna have many segments on talking about this stuff, but my child is currently in rehab right now, and one of the triggers early on for him that I'm really just finding out is when his grandfather died. And what throws me off, I don't remember them having such a close relationship, but it triggered him as one of the gateways of getting on these drugs. And I'm listening to Mr. Ranchula and I'm listening to Mr. Mike, and they're telling us different things. Imagine being at a light and you're not even understanding that you're there, and you fall asleep at the wheel. But I'm gonna say this to tie that up. The fact that Mike is sitting in this radio station right now talking to thousands of people, letting them know he's still here, because God had a bigger purpose for him.
Can I say something?
You sure can.
Now we already know that I told you, you know, about me dealing with my child.
Right.
In the exact same situation. Now, let me tell you how I ran across Mike. Mike is a friend of my son's.
Mm-hmm.
And on our last segment, I don't know if you remember me saying, I said, I'm at a point where to stay connected with my son, his friends have to be my friends.
I remember.
You remember me saying that?
Mm-hmm.
But somebody might say, well, why would you want to be in connection with someone who uses drugs or has used drugs? Well, because if I want to see my child healed, I got to want to see the people that he's around healed as well.
Ooh, that's a word.
Mike, let me ask you this question. Tell them how, if you don't mind, tell them how you ran across my son. How long ago?
Well, it's been years ago. He used to, when I used to buy from him. Yeah.
see what I'm saying? See? And
full circle.
Full circle. But guess what? Guess what now is happening? Mike is in recovery, right? Mm. And now, whereas Mike was one time dealing with my son with drugs, buying drugs from him, now Mike is a mentor to my son.
Whoa.
Tell me that's not powerful.
That's nothing but God. Every part of that has God's hand all over it.
And tell me, why would I not want to be in communion with Mike?
That's right.
Now, here on the flip side, watch this. Somebody will say, well, why are you connected to Ransley? You want to know why? Because she was my friend from so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw her, even when she was homeless, because I loved her then, guess what? I still love her now.
That's
and
right.
I want to see her healed, and I want to see her fixed. Because see, if you notice, I said she was homeless.
That's
Mr.
right.
Mr. Rouncer, tell the people, you ain't homeless no more, are you?
No, I'm not.
Uh-huh. She has her own house now.
Nothing but God.
I'm a long way.
Nothing.
My journey is, like they say, the struggle is real. The struggle is real.
Is real, but you can see God. You can see God moving. And here's the part where now you become a testimony. You move from being a victim being a testimony, an example for somebody else. And no, it doesn't mean that everything you once did you no longer do. It means you're learning how to transition and do things in a healthy manner.
That's right. That's right. I think it's important for all people to understand that the moment you open your eyes up in the morning, no matter what the day before brought you, the moment God allows you to open your eyes is another day to move forward. And if we are willing to be faithful to Him, if we are willing to be loyal to God, I promise you, He's going to give you allow you to have all the opportunities necessary to be better than the day before. Because basically that's what life is, to always continue to improve.
Yep.
In order to improve in life, it's going to take you being faithful to God. There's no other route around it. And he, no matter what the struggle is, whether it's addiction, whether we are in a financial crisis, whether we're going through
mental abuse, sexual abuse,
you name it, God gives each one of us the opportunity every day to be able to be better than the day before. And we want to make sure that the listeners understand, whatever you're going through right now, if you're listening to this programming right now, whatever you're going through, I want you to know God sees and hears everything. Be specific. Don't give up. We have two people in the studio right now that you're listening to that have not given up. We don't want you to give up either.
And see, that's the importance of, instead of looking at people and judging what you think you know about them, I mean, the same energy that it would take you to judge, you could take that energy and just say, how can I help you?
That's right.
What do you need from me?
That's right.
See, Ms. Taransler knows that all she got to do, if she hungry, all she got to do is walk in that coffee shop and say, friend. She walk in that coffee shop sometimes, and I just open my arms, and she just fall in my arms, and she cry. And I'ma pray with her, and I'ma keep her covered, and I'ma keep her lifted up. And if she asks me for whatever it is, it might take me a little minute sometimes because I be moving. But I'ma try to make sure that whatever it is that she needs, I'm available to her, because I want to see her healed.
That's right.
That's right, baby. I'm your friend. Mike, run it with us. Let us know if you had to tell somebody out there who was going through what you've been through, if you had to say something to them to try and save them, what would you say?
I would say, don't. The way I went through getting myself clean, I went the hard way. I got locked up.
Okay.
If you want to get help, go to one of these treatments. It's easier. Your withdrawals and your addiction.
Your hunger for the drugs.
It won't be hard on you.
Yeah, so you suggesting people go to a treatment.
Yeah, go to a treatment and you got to have a high power. Don't go in there playing. Yeah. Talking about, but you can't go for nobody else. You got to go for yourself.
Hold that thought. I don't know. Chris, did you hear what he just said?
Say it again, Mike.
You have to have a high power.
God.
You know.
You see, he said you cannot.
You can't.
Fight it without God.
And see, I thought when I was going through my addiction, I thought, high power, come on, I'm going to go do it. But when I was in that hospital, and I cried and prayed to the good Lord, take the taste away from me. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to worry about me fooling with it no more. Mm-hmm. I don't have no urges. I don't have no cravings. I don't do none of that.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I have so much respect for you.
But you got to have some kind of structure over you. You can't hang with all the same people you've been hanging with. You got, like they say, change people, places, and things. You gonna have to do that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so blessed that how I came out of it. You know, I still be around some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't look down on them. I try to tell them, you know, you could go this way. I ain't going to scold them about it. Because that's when you come down hard on a person that got an addiction.
You push them away.
They go push away, you know. But I try to tell them, you know, I help certain people. But you have to change your people, places, and things. That's mandatory. And with the high power.
Now you just said something very, very, very powerful. Probably it might sound simple and some people might not catch it, but you have to change who you are around. Mm-hmm. If you, all right, let's take this. If folks that are very successful.
Like-minded people.
Thank you. That's like-minded people hang around like-minded people. So if you have people that don't want to elevate in life around each other, guess what? They're going to sit in that bucket together, and they're just going to crawl up, and the mud is just going to attach to them. But if you have like-minded people that every day want progression instead of degression, if you have those type people, oh, they pouring the water and washing the mud off, and they keeping the grass clean. I'm telling you, it's going to sprout. It's going to grow healthy and strong. Who we are the people we are around. If you are around God-fearing people, it's going to rub off on you. If you are around dope dealers, it's going to rub off on you. If you are around people who wish others no good and you are comfortable being around those type of people, it's going to rub off on you. But one thing I do know, if you are trusting God and have the faith of a mustard seed, that's all he asking. The faith of a mustard seed, no matter who you are in life, you have a chance. I'm telling you. I received information yesterday. I hadn't told anybody this yet. Emily asked when the last time I talked to my son. It had been months and months until she mentored me with him on from a spiritual realm. Once we hit the spiritual realm, God started moving all kind of ways with me. I had something miraculous happen yesterday, and I'm still trying to sit around this. About 7 o'clock last night, I got a call from my son. I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
And this is the same son who in the addiction said he didn't have a father.
It's the same son who said he didn't have a father.
Go ahead.
Just, he started talking to me. Now, mind you, he's been in rehab now going on almost 2 weeks with no clothes. And I'll explain that. When he's in a addiction center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so he took the clothes he had on his back. I mailed him clothes. They got lost in the, bought him all new clothes. They got lost in the mail. Finally, they arrived. So he's been there with no clothes. So imagine a guy that's on hard drugs trying to clean up, already aggravated, and at an addiction center, aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
Out the blue, he calls me yesterday in good spirits.
Mm-hmm.
The kid,
because at one time he said he didn't want to talk to you.
At one time, he didn't even want to have a word to say to me. He told me he's maintaining strong in there. He's talking about how later on, once he cleaned up, he want to get him a job. I didn't even know the guy I was talking to yesterday. And I could hear the nurses in the background laughing and talking with him, and he was clowning with them. And so what that did was it confirmed even further with my faith to stay strong with God, believe God, and have the faith that he gonna heal my child. So whoever out there right now going through it with a husband that's addicted or a child that's addicted,
a brother,
and you just feel like it's no hope. I know it's somebody out there that, because at one point I was just all the way broken.
Can I jump in right
sure,
quick?
Sure.
Check this out. Okay, so remember when I called you and I said, okay, Chris, we got to fast.
That's right.
We got to go into a fast because we gotta make hell tremble.
That's right.
And what did I tell you I needed you to do? I said, now, listen to what I'm about to say, Chris. I don't want you to worry about your son. Now, I know that was big because
right,
a parent's number one thing
is
to be concerned about their child.
That's right.
So I told you, I say, now check this out, Chris. I'm going to carry and cover your son. Right? Didn't I tell you that?
That's right.
In the meantime, I'm going through what I'm going through with my son. Right?
That's right.
I said, Chris, I'm going to carry your son. But before we go in this phase, what I said I needed you to do.
Let me make sure I say that right. You told me that I need to make sure I concentrate on me and be a little selfish about me.
I needed you to concentrate on you. Focus on you. Because when we got ready to go in the fast, the enemy was going to rise up.
That's right.
And I needed you to be strong.
That's
so
right.
That when the enemy stuck his head out, you wouldn't buckle and leave me standing by myself. Here's my reason for saying that. See, you gotta team up with somebody, because the word says where two or more gather. When two or more come to God. So in order for us to be powerful, we can't do it by ourselves.
Impossible.
We gotta team up. And then once we teamed up, all hell broke loose for me.
That's right. The enemy attacks. And you know what else happens? People don't understand. When you are in a real spiritual place, everybody not going to follow you there.
No.
So,
because it gets ugly.
Yeah, and they're not even understanding that you are really in a spiritual place. Like, you are really trying to get close to God.
Well, let me ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence.
Yes.
Do you mind telling me, let's let the people know about, just hit a little bit on how ugly it is out there. I remember you telling me, you said, everything I get when you was homeless, steal it from me.
Yeah, they would take all your things. There was no respect.
She told me that she was asleep on somebody's porch. And if it was something that was valuable to her through her homelessness, she had to put it inside of her clothes and sleep like that to keep people from stealing it from her. Mike, you know anything about that kind of stuff?
Well, I was never homeless, but
I'm talking about the dark side.
Yeah, it's a dark side. Either way, addiction is a dark side.
Okay.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I always kept a crowd when I was high.
Mm-hmm.
I had my own place. But we get high and everything. I always kept drugs and everything. I gnawed off. I wake up, I ain't got nothing. But it's all the ones that's around me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They taking, they stealing, but they go lie to the end that they didn't do it.
And then the next day, you right back with them.
You know, it's a circle, you know.
It's a circle.
Ain't no honesty in addiction.
No, that's right. No. I totally agree with that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you probably. Oh, this is my boy. This is my. You know, my girl. We cool. We gonna go to the end. But it's still
talk. And the other three applied to set you up. But at the end of the day, it's all of them against you.
Yeah.
You know, they
it's
all
no,
work together.
It's no. Righteousness.
No righteousness.
No, what's up. Nah.
So, Mike, I have a question for you. At what very moment did Mike say, you know what? No more.
After my parent, my mother and my uncle that raised me passed, he left me everything. And I was still getting high. Like they was saying, oh, I'm a social. I'm a
social.
How they say,
like social
addict, or you know, I can maintain. No, you can't. I saw myself going to a point of no return. Mm-hmm. When you get high, you get using drugs and you don't feel that, you're above your limit.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I was raised with a family. I knew right from wrong. So I had in my mind that I was fed up. But I end up getting caught stealing. And I was finna get bunded out, but I told my brother, nah, I'm gonna sit it out. Just let me get this off my back.
Right.
How this how the devil worked. I hung the phone up with him. And I was talking to this, you know, the inmates in there. They said, man, you ain't got a hole, so you can go and get out. As soon as I called my brother back, he said, I was hoping you call because they didn't put a hole on you just that quick. It was meant for me to just
be there
and, you know, go through what I was going to go through. I went through a hard recovery. Detoxing was hard because in jail they don't care.
So let's throw the jail. This is very important what you said. You diving this up. Let's throw the jail part out, the fact that they don't care, right?
Yeah.
But you personally, how did you feel in the moments as you was detoxing? Explain to the folks
what they feeling,
what is the body going
through? Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you throwing up. Mm-hmm. You ain't got nothing in you. I'm throwing up my stomach lining. It went got so bad, I had ended up with ulcers.
Really?
I was getting my, like, I'm being in the dorm, sitting there, I'm getting my hair braided. But I couldn't, I felt like I got in a cold sweat. I never went through detox. Mm-hmm. I used to always get out, you know.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you could go back and use. Yeah.
I went through a cold sweat, and I told the man, stop. It was break through mine. And I went, sat in the bunk at my cell. He said, man, you don't look right. I said, I got to use the restroom. I got up. I remember taking two steps. I was out.
Wow. Wow.
They hit me with Narcan three times. Mm. The jailer said he came, got me. I was full of feces.
Wow, that is powerful, man.
I had to wait. You're only supposed to be out with no oxygen to your brain for 5 minutes or so.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Your brain did. I was out 45 minutes before the ambulance came.
Now. Wow. Oh. The fact that you're sitting here, Mike.
I almost start crying is a testimony.
45 minutes. When the jailer said,
phew.
I didn't know this happened until the third time I went to the hospital. He telling me this. Mm-hmm. And when he told me, he said, man, when we got you to Rapids, your body was cold.
Wow.
He said, but when we pushed you in the emergency room, you raised up like ain't nothing happened. Now, they didn't hit me with Narcan. Mm-hmm. I'm laying here, lifeless, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No oxygen, nothing. And when I get to Rapids, I raise up. I was full of feces. I'm with you. But I didn't know all what happened to you. The third, I ended up going to the hospital three times. One for the passing out. That's the first time. Then I had an ulcer because my blood count was low. I was still weak. I didn't know where the blood was going. I was in Rapids for like 3-4 days. Then the last time I went because my blood pressure had went up like 250 over 120. It stayed like that for like hours.
So is we just gonna go ahead on and throw this out there and say that for such a time as this, everything that you went through and the fact that you was out for 45 minutes.
I was supposed to be praying that.
And you knowing this, but look, see that's we gotta come back.
That look right. like I tell you. Yeah, I went through that, but before that I didn't go for my high pot until when he told me that. That's when I'm in the emergency. When he told me that, that's when I cried and prayed to the good Lord to take the taste away from me. So that's when I realized, yeah, it's a high pot. Because when I got out, I'm like, oh, I'm in jail. I knew I wasn't going to do nothing because I ain't trying to do nothing. They had me with all the old people. When I got out, normally when I get out of jail, first thing I need to give me something. It never crossed my mind. It never bothered me. I wanted a pack of cigarettes, you know. But for us, the drug and all that, I don't worry about no drugs.
Powerful.
I don't have no urges. I don't have no cravings.
Ooh, look at God.
And none of that. I can see it. I'm not, it don't bother me like most people. You know, everybody how they recover is different. I ain't saying they should do what I did. But I was a strong-minded person anyway, and I know what right from wrong.
So
you know.
So if you're listening to Mike out, I mean, you just gotta hear. He's telling you where he was and about his dark place. But even in his dark place, he found God. He knew to cry out to God. Now let me ask this question to Ransler. I know you and Mike not in the exact same situation, but do you feel like Mike's recovery is a possibility 100% for you? Do you want to get there? Are you ready to heal?
Yeah, I'm in healing process. I'm in recovery.
I'm
always in recovery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because recovery is not just from drugs.
That's right.
You know, it's my social.
That's right.
It's relationship with my children that I have to rebuild.
That's right.
And let them know that I am their mother and I am their protection.
Well said.
No matter what, because they've been distilled, you know, they've been torn,
broken,
broken, through this addiction. So I'm here to let them know that it has been a 2025% recovery for me.
So basically, what I hear you saying, let me know if I'm right, is in the midst of you have been addicted to drugs, you come to a point now where you realize, I want to be a mother. I am a mother, but now I actually want to walk in that position, and I want to be there for my children.
Well, Emanita, you know, I like to dance. Mm-hmm. So I've always danced, you mm-hmm. know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I was dancing, but I wasn't. Do that make sense to you?
You were...
You know, it's like you could just be, you know, moving.
So you mean in terms of with life?
I'm meaning with me, with Tarantula.
Okay.
As I had to go back and find myself.
Okay.
So self-seniority is first priority.
Okay.
So to find myself, I found me. So that was all included in me. My children, dancing is my hobby. Mm-hmm. My friends, you.
So you need to reconnect with the positive sides of life.
Just my positive people that have always been there.
Like-minded people.
Yeah.
Like-minded people. Basically,
the resources have already been provided for me through my abundance of joy. There was blessings everywhere. So I just had to be in acceptance of these blessings. You know, God does provide all your needs and pretty much have what you want.
We have to get to a point, Chris, where when we talk about like-minded people, we mm-hmm. have to let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in the sight of God. We in order to do that, we have to learn how to connect with people who can help to lead us out. You know, like when Moses, you know, led the people. You have to. Sometimes we're not strong enough, and it's important for us to find people that we can lean on and connect with that can help, that you can trust, that you know your best interest is a focus for them. You get what I'm saying, Chris?
I get it totally what you're saying. Basically, well, for one thing I love about Ms. Tarantula, what she did, she understands in order to be a better person for herself, she has to heal all aspects of her life. You know, you heard her say on her children,
mm-hmm.
also herself,
mm-hmm.
those around her.
Mm-hmm.
The only way we're going to even get even better is to recognize what it takes to heal ourselves. Once we can recognize what it takes to heal ourselves, from there we can build from there. But the key, what I would say to all of this, is we have to have Miss K's type of faith. That level of faith have to be so strong.
Bigger than fear.
You have to get into a spiritual place. And one thing I'm going to say to Mike and to Tarantula and to all those who are listening, the fact that you guys are in the building willing to share your stories to help others, God is always listening, all knowing. He's Alpha and Omega. He already knew you would be here at this very moment to do what you did. I wonder who I got that from. Yeah, he will know that you will be here at this very moment doing this very thing to help others. So I want to reiterate to everybody that's listening right now, if you think you don't have a chance, you have a chance. If you think the world is going to just throw sticks and stones at you, guess what? The world is going to throw sticks and stones at you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you who's not going to throw sticks and stones at you. but gonna throw love at you.
The people who want to see you win.
The people that want
to
see you win.
You gotta connect with people who want to see you win.
That's right.
And you can't focus on the ones who have anything negative to say. You just gotta get to a point to where you put your blinders on. See, remember Chris, when I told you, I said, you told me about, you know, you had your heart attack and all that stuff some years back, and I used that as an example. I said, you talk about you do your walking and you do your exercising to your cardio.
That's right.
And all of that. See, that's for your physical health.
That's right.
And then I told you, I said, here's what I need you to do in order for us to be able to face this battle. I need you to go and work on exercising your spiritual health.
That's right.
You gotta, and then what happened? Accountability.
That's right.
Every day, at least two or three times a day, me and Chris talk and we run it. And it's strictly about God, how he's moving, scriptures,
right,
life. The way we talk every day.
That's right.
So watch this now, because he always talks about my level of faith, but I need to get his level of faith up to where mine is.
That's right.
Because in order for us to win, he needs to be where he is strong enough to reach somebody else. And what I'm pouring into them, him, he can pour into them.
That's
See,
right.
Like what, where Mike is, Mike has now positioned himself to be an example.
That's right. That's 100% right.
I know I'm an example, but I don't look at myself as an example.
You may not. You may not, but you are.
Because I still have my rights and my wrongs.
That's life.
You know, and I try to talk to people and tell them that, but I'm still a work in progress.
We all are.
In recovery every day.
Let me tell you something, Mike, and this is not to be negative in any kind of way. Do you know each one of us before the day is over, we're going to sin before the day? like whether it's a big sin or a little sin,
each
one of us is going to do some type of sin.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna take a cookie that you weren't supposed to take.
Let me say this, Chris. As powerful, as strong as my faith is, and I know who I am, I'm a faith walker. Sometimes I deal with a little anger, like my fuse, it gets short.
Yeah.
And
the human side.
And I have to fight.
That's right.
I gotta fight with that.
The flesh versus the spirit.
Because I'm my goal now is to completely walk in the spirit, but I live inside of a world that sometimes pushes buttons that want to send me back to doing things the way I used to do saying stuff.
Well, the enemy, that's his goal. The enemy's goal is at all times to make you revert back to whatever got you to the point where you at right now. The enemy is actually trying to stop you from progressing at all times. The enemy don't want you don't want you to not feel like, I love God.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy don't want you to say you love God. It's easy for some people to say it, but to thousands of people all over the world, wherever you listen to, right, I love God.
And that's the point where we connect with somebody where we know that it's times that, and this go both ways, it's times that I can hang up the phone with Chris and then about 15 minutes later he call back and be like, man, I'm not trying to bother you or soak up your time, but I just had to call it. See, it's being able to have access to somebody that while you're walking or moving through this journey, that they're available to you. And somebody else might say, well, I don't have time to be trying to coach no grown person. Well, how else we gonna grow? And how else we gonna help?
That's how we grow. In drug court, in recovery, they say you have to have a sponsor.
Same concept.
It's the same thing with life. You need a sponsor too.
That's
you
right.
You know, you have to, when you can't handle something, you call somebody.
That's right.
Before you use or anything, and you know, and life is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
right.
That's why I say I'm not strong. I'm strong, but you never know what life will throw at you.
Right.
I don't have a sponsor right now. I have a buddy system.
I like that.
That's in drug court with me.
Mm-hmm.
I called him. He called me. You know, you need somebody.
That makes a difference, Mike.
Yeah.
It definitely,
you know, like,
makes
a difference. I could relate with him. me and him went through the same thing, but we on a different path.
Mm-hmm.
So we call each other.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to that word we were talking about, accountability.
That's why I say when I got out, right. I need structure, and drill court gave me a lot of structure. Some things that I wouldn't do or normally do. Like when she said, Miss Translin said she used drugs to cope.
Mm-hmm.
In drill court, they teach you about coping skills, other things that you could do. Like she said, she danced.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you want to use yourself, dance with your grandbaby. Do something, you know,
mm-hmm.
grandkids is a coping skill. You know, read the book, say a prayer, just do something that out the ordinary that you wouldn't
pick
do.
Pick up the phone and call Lemonade. I'm going to come sit with you. See,
the
one thing about me is, Chris, I don't care. Terrence could tell you I was knocking on her door at 9 o'clock this morning. I don't care where I got to go. I don't care if
I got... Yeah, she came to my house this morning. I'm going.
Look, I pull up at Mike's house, and he might have 30 people standing out there in their yard.
Because I had the electrician in there.
But not just today. Yeah. I'm going to pull up to Mike, and I'm going to walk up to Mike, and I'll just walk up and hug Mike and say, Mike, I just wanted to say I love you. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I'm going to knock on Terrence's door. I don't care if it's the trap house. I don't care where it is. Wherever you need me, I'm available because I want to help you.
That's right.
I want to see you recover.
That's right. Boy, it's such a powerful show. Look, we're getting ready to wrap up. So, Amelie, I'm going to let you have the last word. This is what I'd like you to do.
Okay.
I'd like you to say a prayer for all those listening all over the place, for someone who feels like there's no hope, for somebody that feels like giving up right now. Is somebody out there somewhere just feel like there's nothing left for them? I want you to say a closing prayer, talking to those folks, letting them know that God is real and not to give up.
Okay, so Father God, most gracious and all-knowing Father, the Master, God, you are amazing. You said, Lord God, you will be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. And as you've heard today, a lot of people are broken because who they need in a physical are not here. But Father God, if you would just reveal yourself to these hurting people in the spirit, Father God, just let them know whether it's you moving through us. Send us where you want us to go, Father God, to touch who needs to be touched, to let them know that you're a savior, to let them know not to give up, that there's hope, to let them know that no matter how low they feel they've gone, that you can heal, you can fix, you not just mend it, but repair it. You can make it brand new, Father God, because your word says it. All we have to do, Lord God, is connect with you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for the movement. We thank you for recovery for not just the two people that are sitting here, but for the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of people that are addiction. Father God, we're going to call it out. Anybody that's addicted to any form of crystal meth, heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, mojo, whatever the drug may be, Father God, we bind it, we send it back to the pits of hell from where it comes from, Lord God. And Father God, we speak recovery and healing. Father God, we just thank you and we bless you in the name of Jesus, because we know that you have all the power and all the authority, and we're going to stay connected to you in the name of Jesus. Be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Such a powerful prayer. Thank you so much, Ms. Amanita. Tarantula, God got you, baby. Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Mike, it was a pleasure, brother. Thank you for coming on the program and sharing.
You.
Hopefully, we're going to have an update on you guys. Would you guys come back in a few months?
Yeah, come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, you look like you might be a preacher long down. Better watch out, bro. You already got leadership.
I see big things for Mike coming.
You already got leadership skills, bro. Y'all have a good one. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You're listening to KAYTKQJO. Stay tuned, guys. As always, we do what we do. A little bit. One, two, three, say. You might as well go on ahead and get your dance on. Jesus, be a vent. I know you can. Yes, Lord. I know you will. Yes, Lord. Fight my battle. Yes, Lord. I keep still. Yes,
Lord. Lord, be a blessed all around me every day.
Can you say one more time? Be a blessed. Say,
be a blessed all around me.
I see you there. I see you. I know you can, I know you will, fight my battles if I just keep still. Say, yeah.
This is my prayer, Lord, that I pray each and every day, that you would guide my footsteps.
A protection.